Scott, Mayor present.
Aaron Ward present.
Bonnie Bruce present.
Okay, we got a full house tonight, establish quorum. I see Mr. Fleming here.
Where's
Mr. Fleming? I'll give you some cuts.
Is that me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any added agenda items?
We do have one added agenda item regarding monthly utility billing.
Okay, we'll put that at the end. The consent agenda. Everybody look it over, any corrections?
Yeah, there's one correction. I think it was item 8.
I think the best approach for that might be to pull the minutes from this consent agenda, and then we will, staff will revise and bring them back at the next meeting to be approved.
Okay, all right.
Were there any other issues noted on the council?
On February 8th, Connie Breeze is listed as a commissioner.
Okay.
I think she all of a sudden got promoted.
We make that change. Thanks.
Do you want me to say what that comment was, or do you have a...
It was, it's the one you mentioned on section 8 of February 22nd work session, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I've got that.
Okay.
I got that.
So with the corrections, we need a motion.
Yeah, we'll be pulling the, just basically you can strike on the consent agenda, you can strike out approval of minutes. We're just pulling that from the consent agenda. We'll revise those and bring them back for approval.
Okay.
So you'll just be approving the other items in the consent.
Okay.
So we approve bills and invoices and the financials.
I move we approve them.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Okay, consent agenda unanimously passes. Public comments. Anybody out there wants to say a few words? No? Okay, let's move on to number 7, discussion on water and wastewater improvements expansion projects. Corey, take over on that.
Yeah, and I'm going to get an assist here from Brandon Mahon with Anderson Perry, so you can come on up. So the gist of it is that we've had a lot of discussion on the water and wastewater improvements and expansion projects going back for more than a year, well over a year, and what we continue to find out to a degree, Brandon, I think you'll agree, is that a lot of these grant applications, there's no backup material for that, sorry. Brandon will get to it here in a second. We need to, although we already have at multiple open houses and at almost countless council meetings, we have to, on the record, discuss going out for grant applications and loan applications with these differing parties, these differing entities. So I think you'll remember a month or so ago, maybe a month and a half ago, we had a quick special meeting to talk about these projects for the CDBG funds, and then we turned around and approved the minutes real quick to get it to CDBG. This is essentially the equivalent for USDA, but bottom line is it's another opportunity to let the public weigh in, share on the record, have it publicly noticed, as it has been around town, on the website, etc., that we're looking at doing these projects and we're looking at getting grant funds and taking out some loans to get them done. So I'm going to pass it to Brandon at that point, and if you have any questions during this, just let us know. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Corey. Am I on here? Is the thing working?
Yeah, just give your name for the record.
Okay. My name is Brandon Mahon with Anderson Perry, as Corey mentioned. And like Corey said, he nailed it. This really is just a box to check for one of the funding agencies. There were some advertising requirements that we had to have it in a paper 10 days before today, which we hadn't done yet. Well, we've been in front of the public a lot, but we had to be advertised ahead of time, speak about it here, and then give them minutes. And so what I'm going to give you is just a 5-minute or so rundown of the projects. I know you guys are well informed and you know what's going on. If you have any questions, feel free to stop me. And we'll go from there. So I printed out a project update. We went over this in a work session a couple weeks ago. I have copies if anybody's interested. Quick update, City of La Pine completed water and wastewater system study updates over the last year. The studies identified several improvements to both systems, including extending services into Cagle and Glenwood Acres areas. So the figures, and these are in your studies that are available at City Hall, and I'll leave a handful of these copies here as well. Just to briefly discuss the proposed water system improvements, we have the Cagle and Glenwood Acres areas, as we discussed, including distribution system improvements out there. And then the proposed project also includes a new Northside Reservoir well transmission line to serve that area as well as the rest of the pond. And so that is the proposed water project. The proposed wastewater project, in a similar fashion, provides collection system improvements to the Cagle and Glenwood Acres areas, providing piping in that vicinity, some treatment system improvements, some storage lagoon improvements, and then some additional disposal effluent irrigation area. So that's a brief rundown of the proposed improvements that were done in your plan. Once the plans were completed, a one-stop was held in June of 2016, where the city attended to discuss with funding agencies potential funding options, funding packages, and several funding scenarios were discussed, and one was found to be potentially the best offer for the city. From that point, multiple funding... Sorry, I thought I heard somebody there. It's probably the voices in my head. Sorry about that. Multiple funding applications have been completed for the proposed projects. And on this handout that I'll leave all these on the back table for anybody in the public that's interested. There's a brief update on the status of each of the funding applications for the proposed projects. So for the water system, just as a recap, figure 6.1 here that I'll leave talks about the improvements, and the estimated project cost is $10 million, about $317,000. The proposed wastewater system improvements, the estimated project cost is a little over $14 million. And then briefly, just to run you through where we're at as far as applications go, for the wastewater project, the city has applied for and been awarded a CDBG grant through the IFA. You've applied for a USDA RD loan and grant combination, a Clean Water State Revolving Fund through DEQ, and then a water wastewater grant and loan combination to the IFA. And then for the water project, you've applied for a loan and grant combination for the Safe Drinking Water, as well as USDA Rural Development for those combination funds. And so that is a quick and dirty brief rundown of the projects that you guys are well aware of. I just wanted to go over them briefly and give anybody an opportunity to ask any questions or go from there.
I'm assuming there's no updates since our work session?
No updates. Again, this is a bit of a formality. You guys are well aware of the project. This is more for public input, to notify the public, which we've done. I mean, the city's done a great job with open houses. This is more just doing it in such a manner that make sure the funding agency has their boxes checked. So
we're done? How many more hoops do we have to jump through?
Unfortunately, probably several. There'll be more. This is one of many, but it's a process.
And a lot of this stuff is just for records. This is for the records.
Right. Yep. The USDA has a big checklist of things that we need to do in order to receive this funding, and ensuring that we've notified the public of the projects and what your plans are is just one of those. So.
Thank you.
And as a reminder for those that weren't in attendance at the last work session, I would say that the latest update is that we will have an item tonight that pertains directly to these projects, and that's the $1.2 million that was awarded to the city through CDBG funds for the wastewater project design. But in terms of the other applications, we should know by late spring, early summer.
Yep.
I would say likely June. And then the plan is, in my mind, to have another open house at some point this summer, letting everyone know where we're at and kind of a new timeline for when it will play out. So,
great. I will leave copies of these back here if anybody wants one. Thank you, guys.
And just a final thing I'd ask, Brandon, we don't need, just because I don't want to get the game back together and have this same agenda item, We don't need a motion saying that they're in support of the project or that we've already signed the documents and applied.
Right.
Okay.
This just needs to be discussed, and then we just need to provide the minutes to USDA.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you. Okay, number eight, the contract for Oregon Community Development Grant. We talked about this at work session.
Yeah, I'll give a breakdown of kind of some of the things we should consider with this, and then ultimately, which all of you know well, that the authority to accept these funds and enter into this contract rests with all of you who were elected by the people and serve as council members here in Lapine. So I might, depending on some of the questions that come up, invite Brandon back up to the podium. We invited Tawny, and I'm blanking on her last name now. She recently got transferred to be the point person for the CDBG funds on this award we received. She's based in Salem, and we invited her to be here tonight, and she wasn't able to make it, so we were hoping that she would be here to answer any questions you might have as well. But I will do my best to do that. So rundown on the contract, I mean, essentially what has occurred is that through the application we submitted in the fall, IFA came back and said, okay, City of Lapine, we're willing to give you approximately $1.2 million to design the wastewater project. And they gave us this contract towards the end of January. And they say, okay, you have approximately 60 days to review this and enter into the contract, accept the funds, or we're going to redistribute it because there's a long list of other entities that want these funds to do other projects. And so, as you probably noticed, you know, this is a 14-page contract, and there's several items. I will not go line by line or section by section, but I will draw, you know, mention a couple points. On page, section two, which is page one, past the cover letter, I already mentioned the amount, which to be exact is $1,195,500. So that's the amount of this grant. Page two, section four, one of the pieces that they outline is that the approved grant activities, which is the design of the wastewater project, must be completed within 24 hours from the effective date. What's that?
Months.
What did I say?
Hours.
You better get busy.
It's been a while. Past 24 hours. Sorry. 24 months, 2 years to complete the project. So we have quite a bit of time to, you know, put out an RFP, go through the process properly. We'll have a grant manager that's built into this contract to help the city through that process.
It happened to start it within 4 months, too, according to the contract.
I did notice that section. Yeah, it does say that. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, yeah, so that was on page, I forgot what page that was on, Dawn. But one of the other items, which is a resolution immediately after this item, is on page six. J cites that the recipient must have adopted and will enforce a policy prohibiting the use of excessive force by law enforcement agencies within its jurisdiction against any individuals engaged in nonviolent civil rights demonstrations, and a policy of enforcing applicable state and local laws against physically barring entrance to or exit from a facility or location which is the subject of such nonviolent civil rights demonstrations within its jurisdiction. So when you read through this, there's a variety of legalese, there's a variety of federal acts, federal regulations and requirements that come along with accepting these dollars. But we would not be the first city or be the last city to accept these dollars to help construct a project that will benefit their community. I know I've talked to several of you already about this item because it is in the form of a resolution after this contract. So if we approve this contract to receive the funds, we need to adopt that policy. I'm just making that clear.
So we're sort of talking about both of these at the same time, really.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, if you're agreeing to this contract, you're agreeing that we, the recipient, the city, has or will adopt and enforce that policy.
Okay, let's go down through and see if anybody has any questions except for that resolution. And And then we'll talk about the resolution separately. Because that's weird,
standard thing. Except for that.
Okay. So do you have anything besides that? Okay, Don, I think you have a
question. In there it says that we can either deposit the money in a local government or in a local bank or put it in a local government investment pool, leave it there. What's the difference and what will we do?
The way this grant will play out, from how I've heard it explained to me, is that the funds will not be distributed to the city until we have received an invoice from the consultant and contractor for that given amount. So an RFP will be put out. We will enter into an agreement with a consultant or contractor to do these services. When they send us an invoice, we will forward that invoice to IFA. They will give us the amount of that invoice, and we will then pay the consultant.
How many installments? No idea.
Depends on how many invoices, essentially.
And the consultants will be well aware of this, and they're used to this type of money being distributed this way with these kind of projects.
Yeah.
It's not out of the norm.
It also says in there that we must secure matching funds within 4 months. Are we on track to do that?
There are no matching funds.
No matching funds, okay.
Not for this grant.
Past the fair housing it also says that water meters and sewer connections are required, and that means the entire city. Is that not correct?
That's correct. Yeah, that's on page 9. I circled right. Those sections as well, which we already have those policies in place.
Okay. So anybody that's not hooked up on it now, we're going to have to go through and say it's time for you to hook up. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm going to talk about that in staff comments.
Okay. Thank you. That's taken care of me.
Anything?
No.
Okay, let's go on to the hotter topic, the resolution.
Okay. You want to kind of set this aside for a second and come back to it? And then
yeah, let's do that, because, you know, there's a discussion on the resolution, which is part of this.
Pertinent to this. Okay. Okay, that's fair.
Do you want to say anything more about this resolution?
Do you have more comments on this particular?
I mean, I think the only overarching comment I would make is that since I've been here, and I know it's been talked about before that, so for well over a year and a half, this has been almost the pinnacle project that we've been talking about accomplishing because, you know, again, you know, we're a city with a budget of approximately $8 million annually, and we're talking about doing projects that are $25 million. And these projects would set the city up, whether you're looking at a residential perspective, a community development perspective, or an economic development perspective for the next several decades. And I know I'm preaching to the choir per se because I've heard from all of you the importance of this project. So I'm just reiterating that it's been interesting and exciting to see us talk about getting that goal funding package, right? This many grants so that we can get the rates that we talked about at the last work session down to a certain number so that we're all getting the best deal possible for the residents and the businesses and such. And so this is an important piece of that, obviously.
Well, it comes down to if we accept this, we're basically locking ourselves into the...
Correct. That was the second point I was going to say, is that by agreeing to... So the 24 months of completing this design work, there's also a requirement that then, after that design work is completed, we will begin construction of the projects within 24 months. So, again, we talked about this year being funding. Next year, and I'm saying fiscal year, so July 1, 2017 to July 1, 2018 would be this design work. And then the subsequent years, whether it's 2 or 3, would be breaking ground, doing construction, making sure the projects were all done appropriately and correctly.
So I guess that being said, my only comment would be that I think it's needed. I think we've discussed it. I think that the people are in favor of it. I do think there will be problems with some people being able to afford it. One thing I thought about, I live in Glenwood, so I'm in an area that's directly affected by having not been on sewer and water, although we have our own water, which we've been used to paying water, and I forgot about the fact that Kegel has not been used to paying either, and that was something that dawn on me, even though we've had the discussions, that you're adding, you know, for me, I'm adding $50 or less a month. But for that area, it's $100 a month, or less than, just under. But just that we need to be aware that there are people that are going to be needing help, and that we're paying attention to looking into opportunities, that we're not just saying, sorry, it's, you know, it had to be done, because it does need to be done, but that we're actually actively pursuing ways to help the people that can't afford it.
That's a great point, and Jake and I have already done a little bit of preliminary research on that, and there's a variety of ways that cities address that, and ultimately what we would do over the course of the next couple years, because again, we're a few years away from people actually hooking up and having that monthly bill, would be to look at the programs that are out there, talk with council about what seems like the right fit, and then budget for it accordingly, create a way that, you know, say, you know, late fees paid each year go into a collective pool that then is set aside for this fund to help those with certain hardships. There's a variety of mechanisms, and that would absolutely be something that we would want to look into over the next couple of years to get place.
Absolutely. I guess my point is that I wanted us as a city to be proactive with that.
Absolutely. I think we're going to be, and I think one thing we've got to think about too is we're not requiring any hookup fees with this project, which is a big offset for those people as well. That's one way we've done it as well. We're definitely working for those people.
Yeah, in the public meetings we've had, we've made all this perfectly clear.
Oh, yes.
I mean, and we had like 50 people at the last one, so everybody's, I'd be surprised if there's one person that doesn't know what's happening here. But yeah, we'll definitely work in the next 2 years and come up with some plan for a hardship thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's move on and just talk about this resolution, because we can't really pass that without discussing it.
Sure.
Has everybody read it, I assume? I know Stu has some questions, so shoot, Stu, go ahead.
I got so much questions, it's just concerns. I don't recall anything like this being required when the city assumed the water and sewer district and the current loans that they had at the time with USDA and the loans that they had. I don't recall any wording such as this in those $1 million loans. My concern with the wording is basically, the city has no law enforcement agencies. We rely on, we have bugs in the world. We rely on Deschutes County and the Oregon State Police for our law enforcement. And the way this is worded, I mean, granted it may be meaningless, but for a city to pass a resolution barring law enforcement from basically doing their job.
Let me comment on that. When you brought that up earlier today, Corey and I met with Lieutenant DeLuca, mm-hmm. and we had him read this, and he says they have their own policies. There's no contract with the city. I mean, this basically for the city means nothing. He says the state police and them have their own, you know, their own rules, regulations, and they aren't in contract with the city of Lapine at all, like they are other cities. So his opinion was, and Corey, correct me if I'm wrong, that this is, to them, it's really nothing.
That's correct. And the other piece that I would add that Lieutenant DeLuca said is that, again, I think the operative word in this resolution is excessive. Excessive force. And I know that that's, you know, I don't have the technical definition of what that means in this context.
Interpretation,
sure. But Lieutenant DeLuca did say, you know, we have policies as a law enforcement agency that prohibit us from using excessive force
anyways, in any situation, whether we're talking about a nonviolent civil rights demonstration or pulling over someone on the side of Burgess. The read that I got, and Mr. Mayor, correct me if I'm wrong, is that he said, you know, A, because we don't have a direct contract with them, this doesn't, you know, impose any authority over them, because we couldn't do that, and then B, that they have similar policies already on their books that they must follow in regards to excessive force.
And this is also just something that, you know, that's just, they've added in here, because there's so much going on in the country. I mean, it's almost like I don't know what to call it, but it's just a added little nick that they can, if a city has a police force, you know, that they can, they're signed up to this, which we don't, so it's really...
Well, the way it reads, though, I mean, it does say, you know, it's law enforcement, and then it does say applicable state and local law enforcement agencies, so it's... You know, it could, to a degree, say that the state or Deschutes County, the Sheriff's Department, would have to follow that as well. But I think, and I'll get into this to a degree, that's, I spoke again with Jeremy Green, city's attorney, on this. And he said, you know, ultimately, as with any decision or situation, we are forced with a bit of a trade-off in the sense of, does he think that this policy directly, you know, harms the city or that the city should have any direct concern over it? No. Could he create a what-if scenario? Sure. In the face of accepting $1.2 million in grant funds by not accepting this policy, we're now talking about it, what's called a business decision opposed to a legal decision. Because he ultimately said, well, you know, of course I would not want, and this is the wrong way to phrase it, if I could have my way, the city wouldn't adopt this policy. Because Jeremy's job as the city's legal counsel is to keep us as free from any liability in whatever what-if situation as possible. But when it comes down to that the federal government, based on the 1990 Appropriations Act, which I went and looked at in the grant handbook, says that any federal funds flowing through CDBG program to, you know, local jurisdictions are required to, and then it cites this exact language, this policy, to adopt and enforce this policy. That's the trade-off we're stuck with, of saying, well, I do not disagree that this is a surprising policy for me. I've talked with Tawny, who I mentioned earlier. I talked with her at noon today, and she said that any city or county in the state, and I would assume across the country, that's accepted these federal grant dollars has this policy on books. My other hunch is that potentially other cities, you only have to do it once, so maybe they adopted it 25 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, and it's been there. And that's why it hasn't been, you know, something that you hear about often. So we did do some more digging today. I can understand why it seems and feels like, A, why does this apply to us? And, you know, B, how is this connected to these grant dollars? But it's an opportunity, as you mentioned, for the federal government to say, this is what we care about. And if you want these funds, you need to accept this policy.
Anybody else got any comments on it?
I don't think we have much choice. If we want money, we better pass it.
I don't really see a problem with it. I think that the words excessive force and nonviolence, it just speaks to somebody being able to pick it out in front of City Hall if they choose to, or give their opinion in a nonviolent way. So, that's an issue.
Karen?
I'm not bothered with it either. Is what it is.
Well, I'm not bothered with it because we don't have a police force, and you know, I trust the Sheriff's Department to handle their policies. If we have to just jump to this one hoop, this is very minor compared to what they could make us do. So I'm all for it. Any more, Stu? I know it bothers you a little bit. Nothing else?
Well, it's just, it's just stupid.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's very annoying, but that's the way it is, okay, let's go back to the grant.
Sure.
you had some more to add? I think we've essentially covered it. I mean, again, I think the best way to sum it up is that if we accept these funds, we are going to do the wastewater portion of this project at some point in the next 3 to 4 years, the construction of it.
Worst case scenario is we have to do the wastewater and not the water.
Correct. Yeah. Once we know more over the next few months, we will know. I mean, we have good solid projections, and based on those numbers, that's what we presented at the work session a couple weeks ago. That was basically saying that I think the estimated average monthly water sewer bill would be around $85, $86, $87 if we get the grants that we're hoping to get. And so, but we've got these grants for the wastewater design in the back. So if we, again, if we accept these funds, we're obligating the city to do the wastewater projects. A decision on the water projects can come down the road when we have a fully formed picture of what those grants would look like. That's my understanding.
But they also said that if we elect not to take it, there's somebody else standing in line with their hand out.
This was a competitive process. There were many, 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 many jurisdictions.
I talked to operators that were like, hey, Jake, did you get that? And it's like, yes, we did. They're like, oh, I was trying to get that too.
Does Anderson Ferry have anything more to say on this? Or it's...
I think you covered it.
Okay. Yeah. And what do we need on this? We just need an agreement.
Yeah, it would be a motion to accept and enter into the contract for, and then the rest of what's on that agenda.
I think if the council feels they're prepared to do this, then. Okay, anybody want to make a motion on that?
I move we enter into the contract.
Any seconds?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Nay. Passed unanimously. Okay. I guess we're locked into this project. Did you say aye?
I was going to go yay.
Oh.
You want to go in? You went down so fast.
All opposed say nay. It's your chance. You
said he was going to say yay, not
yay. Oh, hey, okay. Pass unanimously, Barry. I guess we're doing a wastewater project. So now let's move into the resolution.
Yes.
Everybody has studied it, looked at it, not happy with it. We do need everybody has to put on their vote.
Yeah, roll call vote.
Yeah. So any more comments before we do this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to start?
I'm going to need a motion before we have a vote.
We'll make a motion. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we pass the resolution number 2017-01.
Okay, second. Don, second it. Okay, now we need a roll call vote. Start with you, Connie.
Aye, Connie Bruce.
Aaron Ward, aye.
Don Greiner, aye.
Steve Martinez, aye, with reservations.
Okay, resolution passes unanimously. Okay, on to contract amendment. And we talked about this at the work session.
Sorry.
Fast and furious for $100 million.
But there's no such thing as free lunch, right?
Yeah, great.
Technically, the ink hasn't been, put on the paper or dried, but it feels good to be $1.2 million, richer.
I was talking with our student.
You're good.
Okay.
Yeah, the contract amendment, correct. Mr. Mayor, we talked about this at the work session a couple weeks ago. This is an amendment to the professional services agreement that the city already has in effect with Anderson Perry to provide funding assistance and bonding authority. And this is the increase that we discussed that will get us through essentially to June, get us through these applications, get us through knowing exactly what the funding package is for not only wastewater, which we already just did a big piece of, but also water. And so if there are any questions, I'm happy to talk about that. What you see is the legal document that I got back from Jeremy and Alan a week or so ago, and then there's a couple attachments of the description of services and their hourly fee schedule, so that when they invoice us, we know they're charging accordingly.
Okay, we talked about this at the work session, but we didn't really have the updated contract. Does anybody let's start with you, Connie, on this time. Do you have any comments, questions?
None other than I think they've done more work than they said they were kind of going to begin with, and they've been more than generous with their time, so I'm in favor of
it. I think we've discussed it enough. I think we need to enter into it.
Okay, Stu?
Just echo the same thing that was discussed in length at the work session, and I think we all had a chance to make our comments in, and I think we need to get them up to date so they're getting paid for what they're worth.
Okay, moving fast and furious here. Anybody want to make a motion?
I move that we adopt it.
Any second?
Second.
Okay, seconds. All in favor? Aye.
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 All opposed? Passing unanimously. Hey, Anderson. Jeez, we didn't even have any talk on this one. Getting free money? Not free money. No.
It's free money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, this
they're,
is.
They're getting free money for us. That's the point.
Well, I am shocked at how many hoops they have to go through to get these grants. I mean, it's a lot. There's a lot of work here involved. We appreciate it. Thank you. Award contract for First Street 97 landscape improvements. Let's hear about them.
Yeah, I'll say a little bit, and then I'll let Jake and Eric as well shed a little light on that, because they were at the bid opening, which was last week, right?
Yes.
So this is a two-part project, which I think on the recommendation of Eric Upton, city engineer, was smart to bid together. We bid what a lot of people would think of as two separate things in one project, which is the swale, the large, possibly oversized swale for stormwater that is to the east of Taco Bell, right there at the corner of the highway and First Street. I think we all know what we're talking about there. So this project includes adding landscaping to that swale. We've talked about this before at a work session when Eric brought down the conceptual landscape design, some conifers, a few street trees, some boulders, some wildflower seeding in the bottom, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one part of this project. The other part is the First Street improvements, the streetscape improvements, which will be located in front of the Lapine Community Center on First Street. No work is going to be done on Huntington. They dedicated the right-of-way as part of their site plan application. But what in conversations with the city planner and with the applicant, we felt that it was best to prioritize their efforts on First Street to finish a lot of the improvements that have been done on First Street. So we ended up entering into an agreement with them, which was approved by council, that says that they would basically contribute $40,000 towards this project, and the city would use those funds for this project, which we will, and then also contribute some of our public dollars to get the streetscape that we wanted, which includes street trees with very nice grates, some pavers on 3 feet, is it 3 feet?
That's correct.
3 feet of pavers on the street side, in between the curb and the 5 feet of sidewalk. So it'll be all brand new sidewalk, sod swale, street trees on that stretch from where they're doing the construction to the intersection. So those are the two projects. And I remember we had pavers on the table, and we were talking about kind of color and size and different patterns. that may have been in December at a work session, I believe. So we went through that, and then ultimately Eric had to put together the bid documents, and we put it out to bid, and we got, I'll let them sort of take it from here in terms of how many bids we got and how that all shook out, what the estimate was and what the final bid was.
Yeah, three contractors bidding on the project, two out of Bend. We're at one out of Bend, one from Boring that did the last project, and Dick Russell Construction here in La Pine. Dick Russell Construction won the bid, they were the lowest bid, and that's who we awarded it to. And it was awarded for 119 and some change. The other bidders were at 137 and 138. Any questions?
You all have the bids here, or you don't?
Copy we can get you copies of them, that's no problem.
Eric, you got the final contract documents?
I do, not on me, but
you have them prepared.
Yeah.
What was the original estimate on the project?
It was 115, and then we made a couple of changes on the addendum, and so the estimate was approximately 119.5, which is about what Dick Russell came in at.
$100 and something, it was really close.
And that's both of them?
That's correct, yeah.
Yep.
That's the swale and the landscape gun course.
Yes.
Okay, I think the council has some comments on this. Stu, start with you again.
Comments on it?
Well, or questions or anything?
Go ahead.
Well, I just was going to say, you issued an intent to award, just a little more on the process of how that plays out. So.
Yeah, so a notice of intent to award was issued last Wednesday. And so there's a 7-day protest period. I don't believe there was any protests filed against the winning bid. So now that protest period is passed, the award can be made by City Council. And once that award can be made, then can enter into a contract with Dick Russell, and the contract documents indicate a construction period of late March to late May. If the contract is approved,
should be completed by Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
Comments?
Just maybe a question. Okay, so we awarded the bid for this project. Our next project. We'll go through the same process, correct?
Which project? Any project?
Any project.
Yeah, this is pretty similar project.
Yeah, large public improvement projects like this, okay. We will always put out to bid through our RFP process. Yeah, that's correct.
So I'm envisioning, I hope not, but you know, one company has a way of doing something and another company has a way of doing something.
You want some continuity.
Okay, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
Yep.
So, when you look at the next project, are you going to be leaning towards a company that you just awarded this project to?
You can lean towards it, but if you write the RFP, you got to go with lowest bid.
Okay.
Now, we can do qualified consultants to make a list and just pull from that and possibly do things that way in the future. But for this project, we have to go with lowest bid.
Depending on the amount of the bid, you can do
correct.
That.
Yes.
Yeah, our qualified consultants list really only applies to smaller contracts. I do believe with larger contracts, though, we could pre-qualify certain contractors to do that.
You can do pre-qualifications, and you can also where you do mandatory pre-bid meetings.
Sure. We'll get to you, Connie.
What triggered this? What triggered this?
You were looking at me for an answer. That's why I was commenting, because
what triggered this project was there was a big addition going on at the health clinic, and they were subject to doing these improvements. So we figured we could work with them. They would put $40,000 towards the project to do their improvements, and then we're going to finish doing some of those improvements as well to get that First Street corridor tied together.
Anything else?
Thanks.
I have a question.
Told it.
If we proceed with this contract and they're supposed to have it done by the end of May, is the construction on the hospital going to interfere with the project, or will it damage the project once they have it done?
We're coordinating.
We coordinated with them prior to the bidding and all that.
Okay, so
they're the same excavation company that did the work there too. We got to keep that in mind.
Okay, kind of go for it.
I just was answering questions because they were looking at me for answers, but when it comes to the public bidding process, I have 20 plus years experience, so I'm pretty well qualified to answer some of those. And speaking to that just a little bit, the RFP went out to bid on my website as well, and the list of people that were looking at the project and actively pursuing possibly doing the work was quite large, so it was a very competitive process, and it's unusual to see it come that close to an engineer's estimate in my years of experience with bidding, and so that's a positive sign that it's right there. So, and the fact that we had three bidders that were competitive bidders and very active in the construction in this area, so yeah.
Okay, Karen, do you have any comments on this one?
Are you doing trees?
Yes.
And you know to check to see whether the trees can grow here?
Yes.
we've already prepared for the tree conversation.
We're going to incorporate some rhubarb, too. Can we go down that route?
They'll be guaranteed. We got a 2-3 year guarantee.
That's correct, yeah. It's essentially a 3-year guarantee.
3-year guaranteed on the trees, so if they are deemed not growing anymore, the contractor will have to replace them.
That's right. Yeah.
Within 3-year period of them being put in the ground. So
that was the sad part about the contract, is that it looked so pretty when they first went in, and then they all turned black.
Right.
Thought, oh,
but they
no.
fixed it too. Which
so
was
I'm just good. Making sure we don't get any black trees again.
The black trees.
So anybody want to make a motion for this, or is everybody ready to do it now? Comments? No comments? No comments? We need a motion then.
Yeah, and if you could read the entire item, because it's twofold. It's to award the contract, which is, and then also to authorize myself
okay,
to sign the
board contract for First Street and Highway 97 pedestrian and landscape improvement, and authorize the city manager to sign the contract.
I so move.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay. Approved unanimously. So I guess we got another project going on in the city. Are you going to be able to post or have somewhere around here post the design of it again, or?
Sure, we can do that.
And we had one for the, we saw it for the swale, you know, just so.
Yeah, we got both. People can look at it.
There's some nice color copies printed up and put out here. Yeah.
Put it up in the front lobby so people can look when they come in.
Yep. Sounds great.
Done.
Okay, let's go on some appointments for Don Kerman to the Planning Commission.
That would be me.
That would be you. Come on up.
I'll give you just a little background. We had a few vacancies after the new year as some folks moved on and others moved on to the council and other shiftings. And so we ended up having three applications that the Planning Commission heard originally in the middle part of February. They had the three applicants there. John Cameron was one of them. And then they actually didn't make a decision then and came back a couple weeks later and then made a recommendation to all of you to ultimately appoint the planning commissioners to appoint John Cameron as the into fifth and getting us back to a full planning commission. So that's, I think, what I'll say. His application is included in your packets.
Item number 12. Any comments from you?
Well, it started with you, Mr. Mayor, when you came by the house. And
I bet you wish you never entered the door.
Maybe the first time, I don't know, but the second time that day you came up. But so we've had discussions, at least you and I, and I think it's going to be a challenge, and I'm looking forward to it. And I don't know if there's any questions you have on my background or you want to hear anything about that just now, but it's been primarily a technology background. And some budgetary stuff as well, but it's going to be a learning curve. And at the same time, I live here in Lapine, and I want to see what's the growth that goes forward is what we want. Not too fast, not too slow. It's going to be interesting. Because there's going to be a lot of back and forth, I'm sure. But,
okay. Council, do you have any questions for him? Okay. No?
He answered it. He said he was very excited, and then he thought it was going to be a experience and a learning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's a way to keep an eye on what's going on in the town.
And I'll tell you that.
I want to know what technology writing is.
Technology writing, technical manuals, procedures is a big part of it. Everything from parts identification to theory of operation of technical equipment. Again, my background is technology, specifically semiconductors. And the corporation I worked for many years, 30 years, very complex stuff, and people really get excited when it stops working. System down, and they're going, you know, where's the person? You know, we'll pay for the airfare, whatever. Anyway, to support that, we always have technical documentation. So,
okay, and then how long have you lived in the fire?
Year and a half.
Year and a half. Mm-hmm. What brought you here?
The will to get out of California was one of the first things, and or the occupied territory, I guess. But always been a person that enjoys the outdoors, and actually I came through Lapine about 25 years ago on my way to Montana to visit a friend. I spent the night at the campground, and you know, it's interesting. Never thought I'd be back, but the wife and I did some exploratory stuff and discovered Lapine and Craigslist. As we put it out on Craigslist, and we got an offer from a guy to have us come on up and take a look at his place, and it's perfect. It's a great fit.
Cool. Yeah, I like that. Someone that's not afraid to say they had to get out of California.
it was an imperative, a moral imperative.
Thank you. Don, you have any questions, comments?
Nope. Been there, done that.
Okay, I have a couple. I mean, he's only been here a year and a half. He comes to almost every chamber meeting, breakfast.
Yeah.
That's where we see him. His wife has started up a business here. And I just think it's great that we have a little old, new combination here.
I was at the planning commission meeting when he was interviewed, so, and he's a neighbor.
Yes.
Yep. He lives over in the new water sewer district.
He lives in
Yeah, I learned a lot about that.
Yeah, so, no, I don't.
Okay, do we have a motion for John Cameron to be on the planning board?
So moved.
Second.
First, seconded, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Passed unanimously. John, you're playing for it. I think they have another meeting coming up soon.
I was going to say, next Wednesday, yeah. 2:30 in the afternoon. I'll make a note of that in staff comments as well on that joint meeting. So
I'll be there.
Great. We'll get you on the email list and make sure you're informed on that.
Perfect.
And thanks for stepping up to the plate on this.
Well. Thank you for letting me do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for moving here.
We have number 14. Kathy's in here. There's nothing.
That'll be on. That's item 14. Sorry. We'll amend these forms. The check boxes are a little.
Okay, that's
all that. No, I never
it does have budget on there. Okay, the next one is appoint Corey Meisley, city manager, as budget officer.
I've said it already, said it last month. It's in, now that we're already 8 days into March, it's that time of year. And so staff and working on budgets, which, you know, first is looking at, you know, where we projected to be by June 30th, which is the end of this fiscal year. Based on that, that gives us our beginning fund balances. You know, then it's what are we budgeting in terms of funds and line items and projects for next fiscal year. And so staff's putting together a recommended budget, and then obviously, as all you know, we'll bring that to the budget committee. That's part of the next item in May, and talk through that. And so one of the steps that needs to occur every year, and on the budget calendar I shared last month, March 8th was on there for our point budget officer and also budget committee, was to get the budget officer and budget committee in place. And so as city manager, I was budget officer last year, which was a good crash course on all that. Working to put it together with Rick, and you know, I've been having a lot of fun working with Ashley and Jake and Brenda as well, to get this year's recommended budget put together. So this month will be a lot of work just in the numbers. And then I envision April, you know, tweaking some more of those numbers, and then also putting together the other, hand me that real quick, that budget document. The other element, the other, you know, let's call it visual arts, charts and whatnot that go into making this budget document something obviously for the city in our fiscal roadmap for what we're spending money on. But I'd like to see us try to take it this year to a level where it's also a document that anyone could walk into City Hall or go on our website and get a real strong sense of, you know, what's the history of the city of Lapine, where are we at, what are we trying to accomplish, where are we headed, and what decisions are we making to get there. So that's just kind of an internal goal, just a little primer, so in a few months you can make sure we accomplish that, I should say. So.
Okay, any more comments on this one?
Nope, sorry, I'll stop.
Council, any comments? Okay, anybody want to make a motion for Corey Weiss, their city manager, to be the budget officer?
I shall move.
I'll second.
Second, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. No nays, unanimously. Okay, you're it again, Corey.
Yes, so item 14 is appointment of budget committee members. We had two vacancies on the budget committee, and we also had two expiring terms on the budget committee. So what is in your packet, and I don't, did you pass out the one for Frank Schultz?
I guess.
Okay. Great. So you should, everyone should have, and I'm missing them a little.
We have two.
No, we have more than that.
Those ones are stapled together. Okay, great.
Sorry, Kitty.
These ones are stapled together. So what you have are essentially four budget committee member applications. One is from Kitty Shields, who's been on the budget committee for how many years? You served in 2011. Okay. So her most recent term expired on the budget committee, and then also Frank Schultz, who was on the budget committee, his term expired as well. So they want to be they want to continue in that capacity. And then in the last few weeks, we received applications from John Cameron, who all of you just became a little better acquainted with, newly minted planning commissioner, and then also Kathy Agin. And one of the requirements for being on the budget committee, opposed to, say, the planning commission, is that you must be a resident of the city, and also a registered voter, among other things. But these are the four applications, and if you have any questions, I know obviously a couple of them are in the audience tonight, but it would be my recommendation to appoint these folks to the budget committee and have them in place for May.
Well, out of three of them, I think we all know them. Kitty, Kathy, and Frank, and we just met John here. Any comments, Council?
I think that the having John on the budget committee will be a good introduction to the city. I know that I served on the budget committee the last prior 2 years, and definitely helped me with understanding the direction the city's going, as well as the money that it's spending, and it's. For him being on the planning commission, that'll be a good introduction for that. And of course, I agree with the other ones that I served.
I agree. All of the applications look good. John presented himself very well. I don't have any objections to any of them.
Here you go, Melissa. Don?
No comment.
Stu?
So, we're, how many vacancies? Four?
Yeah.
So we have four.
Correct.
But two of them were.
Two of them are already on.
Two of them are expiring.
So I think we got a good combination of experience and newcomers. Just bring good perspective to the budget committee. Since all city councilors are on the budget committee.
Good point. There's just to reiterate what you're saying, there's for every council member, there's a resident member who serves in that capacity, so you have 10 total, ideally.
Okay, can we do all of these, or we got to do them separately in a motion?
I think a motion to appoint, and then I'd say each name, and then to the budget committee.
Let's make a motion to appoint to the budget committee this year, Kathy Egan, Frank Schultz, John Cameron, and Kitty Shields.
Second.
Okay, first second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
I have some comments on that for the record. Kitty and Frank will be appointed to 3-year terms, and John and Kathy are filling positions for 2 years. So just on term links. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll update that spreadsheet that tracks all that, Ashley, correct?
Yes.
Perfect.
Thank you for being on top of that, Ashley. Okay, Paul, we already did this pass unanimously.
And the fifth member, if anyone was curious, is Brian Earls. He's already on the budget. He's on his terms.
Okay. So we got our budget committee, we got our planning board. Let's go on to other matters.
I'll let Ashley speak to this. I'm happy to weigh in as well, because I've certainly talked to her quite a bit about it and seen how it's played out. So it was the monthly utility bill.
So every month we send out utility bills. And we've always done it in-house, and for years at Water and Sewer, and then even for a couple years here, we did fold a sheet of paper and stuff an envelope and stuff the bill and then seal the envelope and then take it to the post office. And then we went and switched to cards, which worked really well, except the post office was eating them alive and sending them back to me, and then people weren't getting their bills. So we switched back to paper billing, and I think we're just trying to entertain the thought of moving to paying a contractor and Ben to do it. It costs 53 or 54 cents a bill, and that includes the postage, so it's really about 5 cents, 6 cents to send it. It will free up probably 10 hours of my time a month. And we called their references. We got competitive bids on it. The other company was about twice as much. And I talked to Stu about who he uses for his contract billing, and I think that's who we'd like to use. It's been mailing services in Bend. So just make you aware of it and see if you had any thoughts or questions about it.
Who was the other bid from?
A man named Frank Rowe sent me the bid, and it was a company in the valley. I didn't find anybody locally, and I've used Bend mailing services before for when we do like open houses and stuff. We use them to send it, and they've always been a great rapport, quick turnover, always very, very cost effective. So,
Karen, anything?
Sounds good to me. You don't have time to do
it. I think it's money well spent. It saves us money in the long run, I think, taking it away from staff.
And I can just real quick put a plug in for them, because they just upgraded their security system about a year ago, and it's like walking into Facebook's data center. This company is, it's pretty efficient. And a lot of cities already use them for their billing system. I believe Redmond and Sisters already use them. So it's a pretty reliable company, and you have the options of putting inserts in Microsoft speakers. So, yeah, good company.
Well, I think it's great, because staff is getting busier and busier, and anything that saves a little time, I'm sure, is wonderful.
do we really need an okay on this one, you believe?
I don't think I need a formal okay. Just I want to make sure you guys were aware of it and that someone didn't walk in and say, we went to contract billing and you didn't tell me,
well,
kind of thing.
Everybody knows about it now. They had time to comment on it. Good, Ashley.
Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Okay, that's it. No other batteries? Okay, let's have public comments. Out of everything that's happened today, we got $1.25 million. We spent money. Any comments out there? Nope. Okay, staff comments?
I'll just piggyback on the outsourcing the monthly utility billing. One thing that I'm going to continue to do and continue to encourage staff to do is to look for efficiencies that we can improve upon, whether it's operationally, whether it's fiscally, whether it's a combination of both. I think that's just prudent organizational management. So, this was something that Ashley and I talked about before, and whether it's saving her time, which is a huge deal because we need her working on other things as the accounting clerk, but also just something we could use that the billing in an envelope, opposed to the postcards and other ways as well. So there's a few factors in with that. So anyways, just a small mention of that. I've got three items I want to mention, and we'll be talking about all of them in the future as well. But the first is that it was brought to my attention that there are some covenants which are requirements and restrictions that are imposed on deeds and titles for certain properties associated with the Newberry Business Park. So those are the half-acre lots that are over off of Reed and south of Reed. And these were the declarant was Deschutes County, and these were issued back in, I believe it's 04 from what I've read. So the county legal counsel is looking at it currently, and I've had Tammy Wisco, the city planner, has looked at it, and we've met with James Lewis, who's the county property manager, to sort of get a little more information on these, because again, it was a surprise to all of us. It was a surprise to, I mentioned it to Rick Allen, because he had been here for a handful of years prior to my time, and he said, never knew these existed. And so they directly contracted with Liggy, and but Liggy is no more. Liggy was the Lapine Industrial Group Incorporated, but now that role is served through the SLED board, the city's South County's Economic Development Board. So there's some interesting questions about whether the covenants still apply, which I think the county's legal counsel is that they do. Then the next question is what do we do with them? So I'm not going to dig into the details of those, because that's a 25-page declaration of those covenants. I just wanted to mention it. One thing I'm going to do as well is bring it up at the SLED board meeting, which has been rescheduled to March 21st. And I want to try to get a sense from folks who've been here a lot longer than me, kind of whether these were enforced, whether there was an architectural review committee, and then get some of their input, and then ultimately, maybe the day after on March 22nd at the work session, bring it back to council and talk about sort of what path forward we'd like to take. So that's just a kind of quick.
Let me just comment on that.
Sure.
We have to give a credit to local one of our realtors to bring that to our attention. She called me down there one day and I gave it to Corey, and it's gone on that, but without her bringing it to our attention, by the wayside. So
essentially we're taking steps to figure out, how do we obviously recognize these, but then decide whether the county as a primary landholder, and then also the city as it being within our jurisdiction, and now that we have land use, whether we want to maintain the covenants, possibly restrict them, possibly put in new restrictions in our zoning ordinance. That's a conversation for another day, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention, and not to try to confuse you, but if you have individual questions on that, let me know, but do be prepared to see that probably later this month.
Well, Corey, if you would have brought it up to SLED, there's someone that probably could have answered all that for you.
I
knew there were
Okay.
And Vic Russell probably knew that they were there. And so that, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that they exist, but there's no architectural review committee that's actually enforcing the covenants.
Correct.
Yeah. So what do we, how do we do, we can't, now that, I mean, I had never known that the covenants existed to ask about them. So now that I know, I'm trying to, we need to get to a point where, because they are on the title of the deed, how do we move forward? Do we appoint an architectural review committee for just the business park? Or do we work with the county to remove the covenants? Because now we have a city, but when that was put in place, the city didn't exist. And the city's only had land use planning for really only 3 years. So now, so 95%, and Tammy's looking into this, our city planner, 95% of what's in the covenants are covered in our land use ordinance. But there's also a few other restrictions. You know, I'll give you an example. One of the covenants is that there are no metal buildings. Well, that's, we have metal buildings in the queue right now that we're getting ready to issue land use approval. So we need to rectify this. There's a disconnect, and we just need to sort that out. And I didn't mean to launch into the details. So we'll include the covenants in the packet. We'll talk about it. And I want to get a sense from the SLED board. I would have brought it up if we had the meeting yesterday, but we rescheduled it for the 21st. So that's just a heads up on that topic. Surprise. So. That's all I got on that item. The connection letter for existing properties that are within the city limits that are not connected to water and or wastewater, our city services. We finally got back from legal the letter, and I'll let Jake say a little bit about kind of what our plan is maybe over the next few months to get that process rolling. So we're doing some research right now.
For hookups?
Yeah. Yep. Maybe outline the issue.
Issue, there's a few residents out there that still aren't hooked up to water and sewer. There's several different scenarios that we've looked at. There's situations where they have water service, but they don't, or they have a sewer service, but they're not hooked up to water yet. But they're paying monthly services for that sewer. And possibly paying monthly services for the water even though they're not using it. So there's a lot of unique situations out there that are looking to possibly rectify. Do we give them credit for those months in the past that they paid those monthly dues towards an STC credit when we make them hook up? How do we approach those unique situations? There's probably 50 different situations out there where there's a bare lot and they're paying monthly water and sewer fees, but they're not hooked up yet. Do we give them credit for an STC for that? There's a lot of unique ones out there that we're looking at with legal. We brought it to their attention because we're getting ready to send this letter out to, for mandatory hookup for water and sewer. We're just looking at addressing some of those unique ones.
That's a little shocking.
A little shocking, yeah. But this, we're just trying to rectify some of the old water sewer district type stuff. No policies were really set in place, and we're going to make it right. We're just going to do it the legal way.
And not put it off anymore.
So you're going to see this brought to council probably in the future. Legal's looking at it right now. We're going to bring some situations, some ideas, and see which way you council would like to approach it.
Agree.
Whether it's in the form of we pay them back the monthly dues that they paid, and then we assess them an STC, or we credit that towards an STC. Those are a couple of the ideas we've come up with. But I'm certain we can come up with a fair alternative to this.
The city's getting caught up on a lot of little things.
Catching up. We'll get there.
That's good.
We'd like to get caught up on a lot of this before these big projects start coming into play, obviously. So that's why we're looking at it right now.
Yeah, just one more item, and again, it'll be something that we see play out possibly this summer. I would hope this summer. I have to get with Scott Aycock, who's the manager, the community and economic development manager for COIC, Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council. He got together folks from basically every city besides Bend and Redmond in the Tri-County, Crook, Jefferson, and Deschutes County area. for a grant to the Meyer Memorial Trust to support rural community amenities. And I mentioned this briefly at a council meeting in the past, that as part of this grant, the focus for Lapine would be, and I guess the news is will be, on the Transit Center property that was recently acquired by ODOT. So we have this asset, this land, we have this vision, we need to figure out how to get from one place to the other. So as I got an email from Scott last week saying that the grant was fully funded by the Meyer Memorial Trust, and as a result, the city will be receiving, again, through the process that CYC will work with city staff on, approximately $10,000 in technical assistance from Meyer Memorial Trust. So I envision this being, there being community meetings where the public is invited to come weigh in and share their insights on what they'd like to see that property develop and look, that transit center look like. And then some technical planning expertise that's paid for, again, by the grant funds to actually master plan how that comes to be reality. So stay tuned on when the grant will actually commence. But I thought that was some good news that I'd like to share. So,
do you want to comment on the meetings coming up? The planning board?
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder. Sorry. Next Wednesday, the 15th, we have a joint meeting scheduled between the council and the city council and the city planning commission for here at 2:30 in the afternoon. We'll have Jeremy Green, which is the city legal counsel, down to, I just reviewed his presentation earlier today, to review, to go over essentially council rules and procedures, looking at dynamics between staff and council, and then also sort of adding on to that, dynamics between planning commission and council, and what is the legal mandate, per se, like strong way to put it, that the planning ordinance that establishes the planning commission says. What are some things to consider in terms of ex parte contact and other legal things that it's good for everyone to be aware of and brush up on. So, and then obviously it'll be here to just answer questions as well, if council or planning commission has any. And then the second half of that meeting, I would like to have, call it maybe one of two, potentially, or three meetings. We'll see how it goes on goal setting, and then high goal setting, and then obviously looking ahead to the budget as well in terms of some priorities and projects. So that's the update for the meeting next Wednesday. Agenda will be out. Hopefully should be ready to go Thursday by close of business.
And a lot of priorities was, I don't know if we had one last year, but I know a couple years before that we went. I mean, I know we had one up to Crescent Creek, and everybody just gave what the council's priorities are. So that'll be a good thing. That's it for you, Brian.
That's it, unless other city staff has any comments.
Okay, let's go to the council's comments.
Sure. Pretty excited about the wastewater projects moving forward. Also just wanted to comment that I went to COIC's board meeting on the second of the month. I was trying to think when it was there. It looks like it's kind of messed with me. Great meeting. Half of the meeting was, again, the board orientation, so there's a lot of new board members and learning about all the things that COIC is doing, but also we are accepting some bus shelters, and so for the bus system that COIC runs for multiple areas, they're going to be moving some bus shelters over from the Salem area that are a free. We just have to keep them in place for a certain number of years because of federal tax dollars, but it'll be nice to get some shelters on there without paying money for them. So other than that, a project list. CED's adopted a regional project list, which all the cities that are part of COIC put forward some projects they would like to have COIC help them with. And different cities put, I think Madras had 25 on the list. It was kind of crazy, but and they're just kind of now figuring out what COIC can do with each of those projects. And some of them are in design phase, some of them are in, you know, moving forward, and some of them, they COIC helps with so many different things, but sometimes it's just a matter of coordinating or putting together ideas or helping them with direction, helping the cities with direction. But it was good to see that list and the different things that the cities are working on. And it's a great board.
You're going to enjoy it?
Yeah.
It was a good meeting tonight. I'm glad to hear that the trees aren't going to turn. People didn't like it because they don't like it. So it's good to see us go forward and do all the projects. But we have to think about what we do to keep everybody happy, including me. I like the trees to bloom. Other than that, it's great that we're moving ahead with the grant. And it is very exciting that we're going to move ahead with the sewer system and eventually move ahead with the water and the store in Cable. And that's another thing that we, you know, have been working on for a long time. So it's nice to see something come together. It was a good meeting tonight. Congratulations to the people that got reappointed and is new. And John, you have a wonderful wife, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was looking forward to our meeting next week, and I happened to be going on the computer, look around, and I found a two-page from the UNC School of Government on 8 expectations for an effective city council. And I'd like to hand one out to everybody on the council. And I'm sorry I didn't get enough for Trey and Jake, but I do have one for the city manager, and if he would have it copied for Trey and Jake. Sure. But it was just something I thought that was interesting and might give you some ideas heading into that meeting next week. Also, I noticed that on the League of Oregon Cities, they have a 40-minute, I think it is, program. It's free of charge. You go on their website, and it tells Roger Jordan, who helped us in our original quest for a city manager, is one of the two presenters on that. And it really gives you some good information. You can sit down at home at your own time on your computer, just log on to League of Oregon Cities, and it's in that area. That's the thing that I was kind of interested in, because I think that we really need to consider some of the questions that we might want to ask next week at that meeting. Also, I think that I'd like to compliment everybody that has been appointed to commissions tonight, because having been there and done that, I know that there's a certain amount of work that you have to do, time that you take away from home. And thank you for stepping up and saying, I'll help the city. It's really important to us. One of the things that we're concerned about is not getting enough public comment. And hopefully you folks can kind of stir up some people and have them talk to us. Thank you very much.
Sue? Yeah, I just want to echo the congratulations to everybody. Kitty, thank you. Keep coming back, coming back, coming back.
Can't keep me away.
Good. And I just want to kind of remind everyone that spring is around the corner. There is hope.
Is that hope?
There's hope. Which leads me to, I hope that the staff is going to at some point evaluate how the winter went. You know, our pluses and minuses, what we could work on. I, for one, think you guys did an excellent job this winter, considering everything that we went.
SLED meeting, as the city manager alluded to, had been postponed till next week. So hopefully I'll have something exciting to report to Matt. I can let you know that it's been exciting working with the members on the SLED board that represents Sun River. There's a lot of discussion going on back and forth with Sun River and Lapine working closer together. You can see it reflected in the chamber events that are going on now, and I think we're going to see a lot more of it, especially when construction starts picking up. You know, that's going to put an awful lot of folks to work, and there's going to be a lot of construction going on. Although it's hung up at the county level or the state level, the expansion of the Caldera Springs. So once that is cleared in Salem, then I think we'll see a lot of excitement starting up. So until next meeting, thank you.
Well, I went to COAG meetings, COCO meetings, and of course they're all just talking about the state budget. Corey and I spent a day Monday over in Salem and sat in a room with all of our legislators coming in, plus the land people and the ODOT people, and I'm looking forward to next Wednesday's meeting so the city of Pine doesn't be as dysfunctional as our government in Salem. It was really discouraging. And every one of them said the same thing. I mean, they weren't denying it whatsoever. I mean, it was interesting, I think. What do you think, Corey?
It's very interesting, yeah. A little depressing, but yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And the name calling that goes on over there, and that's like, wow. So anyways, everybody's, all these organizations just are concerned about the budget. It doesn't look like the state's going to have one for quite some time. Tomorrow I go to Prineville to meet the governor. She's going to be over there. And then the 18th of March, I go to meet our state senator, Merkel. So I've been busy. I'm going to Salem twice in 1 week is a little bit much, but it's fun. And my Facebook will be up to date, because you don't spill coffee on your laptop and expect it to work. So I got a new computer, so people can follow it on that. And I'll try to keep everybody updated on stuff now. And besides that, this city is moving ahead. It's amazing. And I appreciate the staff catching up on old stuff, like this old sewer and water stuff. I mean, that's the only way we can move ahead. So thank you for that. And that's it. No comments. Do we have a motion for this meeting to be adjourned?
So moved.
Seconded.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Meeting adjourned.